Shalom.
Hello, we are at our weekly portion show. With us is the Rav Lightman. Hello. Hello, everyone. Hello, Moshe Admoni. Hello. And we are at the portion of Vayishlach, which speaks of Jacob, who returns after years at the house of Lavan abroad. He goes back to Israel. He wants to make peace with his brother Esau, and he sends angels to him. These angels come to Jacob to tell him that Esau is coming towards him with 400 men of war. And Jacob is scared. He prepares for the meeting with a prayer. And among other things, during the night, he meets with the angel of Esau and battles with him and wins, but he's harmed. He's hurt at his tendon of his hip. And he's told that his name will be changed from Jacob to Israel. And afterwards, they make peace, Esau and Jacob, and Jacob goes to the area of Shechem. Dinah, his daughter, is taken by one of the people of Shechem, and he asks to marry her, and the people of Shechem are allowed to marry her only if they are circumcised. The sons of Jacob go out and to kill all the men of Shechem and loot the city. The Creator tells Jacob to go to Beth El, and after he arrives, the Creator blesses him with many offspring and the inheritance of the land. And at the end of the portion, it is told that Rachel dies during the birth of her second son, Benjamin, and Isaac also passes away and is buried by his sons, Esau, Jacob, and... Rav Lightman, if we could please make some sense of all of these details. Of course, if we look at the story, it seems like a story, but we know that this is the Torah is only a spice, a light to correct the evil inclination that was created, and this is the whole work that a person must do. So everything starts with the person who discovers this question of what is the meaning of my life. And then he discovers that he does not have a reason or a precise purpose for his life. He doesn't know what to do. So in order to discover the reason for his life, he begins to research, investigate. And this we've already learned from Abraham, because that is he is our foundation. He investigated what is life for, why is it worthwhile living, and he discovered that there is one system with one upper force, with a reason and a purpose, that is intended for man. And so one needs to see these things, to learn them, to discover them. And then, once he discovers them, he begins to change and to harmonize himself with the plan of creation. And then he begins to be Adam, alike to the Creator, to the plan of creation, to nature, by changing himself. From the animal level, as is written, that all are as beasts, and to the level of Adam, the speaking or human level, and then he becomes Israel, Yashalkel, straight to the Creator. And this is a long path. And here we only see the beginning of the path, but already not with Abraham and Ishmael, and not with Esau, and not with Isaac, and Esau, but Jacob, who is actually the one who completes the line of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the level of the fathers. He is the middle line. You need to work with the will to receive, the left line, with Isaac, and even with the shell of Isaac, which is Esau. It's not just now, but for generations, until the end of correction of all of the vessels within a person, he needs to work against this. But if he works correctly, by continuously yearning to discover that the upper force is there is none else but him, and he is good that does good, and he wants to discover this none else but him and does good that is good that does good in everything he feels and everything that happens to him, then he has this work to do that is, as we say, around the clock, because he constantly needs to be in this effort to see, after everything that happens to him and to others, that it is the revelation of the upper force, and the wisdom of Kabbalah is what helps him discover it, because it aims one and shows us how we can discover this one force behind every all of the different actions that we see. And it's not just to say that it's all the Creator, that it's all just one force, but I truly try to discover Him and to be like Him. And in this way, I constantly try to understand Him. And so this is what actually is what Abraham tried to do when he discovered the Creator, and afterward he Isaac continued after him, and now Jacob is completing it. Jacob is the one who builds the method. At first, he connects with Laban, the power of the white light. It's very high power, the higher power, even though it's Laban is evil because he's working against all of the will to receive, and not just a layer in a person that is ready to be in contact with the Creator, the light. And so afterwards, when Jacob is taken from Laban, this power that is, for now, he is able to work with for his correction, after a person goes through these corrections, then he reaches this action, this act, when he returns from this correction, and now he needs to grow. He already knows what is this right line, the left line, the middle line. He already knows that how he needs to advance in our world, that we have the ego, which we don't need to destroy, but the correction needs to be whole. The ego needs to grow. What I do need to do is to constantly overcome it using the right line and connect it properly to the right line. And in this way, we try to work. This is the way the wisdom of Kabbalah teaches us to work. And when a person begins to work in this way, not by neutralizing the right and left forces, but by building a middle line between them, by combining the two of them together, just like what happens in nature in general, plus, minus, north and south, all of these forces are always drawn to balance between them. So if a person works with this balance, this is called the middle line, the line of Jacob, the middle line, the golden line, the golden path. So if a person makes an effort to do this in his life, he discovers the upper force in this line. From the force of the Creator, two forces come out. So then we have the good angels and the bad angels. It doesn't matter. They all come from the Creator. Just like the Pharaoh is the backside of the Creator, and the Creator is the front, the face. And when a person takes these two angels, the right and the left, then he works with them correctly and he combines them correctly. That's called the point of Jacob. This is the beginning of the correction. And now, when Jacob returns, what does he need? He only needs to grow. The ego grows more and more in a person. As it's written, I created the evil inclination and the spice of Torah. So then if you discover this evil on the left, then you discover the light on the right as what reforms your evil. And then you combine the bad with the good light, and in the middle you get your corrected will to receive. And the ego, which is the angel of death, it becomes the holy angel. And this is really the work of Jacob. That's why we're all called the house of Jacob. Jacob is his name in katnut, in smallness, when he only begins the path, when he's standing in the middle between the two forces. But when he begins to work with the inclinations that are revealed in him more and more, and then he demands the forces from the right side. This is a Doron Tefillah v'milchama, the preparations that he makes, these prayers for freedom and for war. He receives them from the light, from the right side, from the light that reforms. Then he can combine everything together. And then instead of Jacob, his degree becomes greater. He turns the will to receive into in order to bestow, and the evil angel becomes a good angel. And then he discovers, with this corrected will to receive, the upper force. At the beginning, the angel of Esau battles with him, meaning this greater will to receive is instilled within a person, and a person battles with it. But when he succeeds, when he's prepared for this battle, then the angel calls him Israel. And afterwards, when he comes to Bet-El after this path that he's gone through, the Creator calls him Israel. And so he corrects himself through all of these powers, these angels of Esau. A person is scared of Esau because when the will to receive is revealed, it can destroy one. It can destroy him. It can make him stray from the right path. And the will to receive, it shows itself in all of its strength. These 400 men of war are the four degrees of thickness that are revealed. The fourth degree is the thickest of them. And so he's very afraid. He's very careful. He stays alone. Doesn't take anything with him. He finds himself in this preparation to overcome this. We know this from our work. Until one wins. And to win also, even though he wins, he's left with this flaw. And this flaw that is revealed in him, it's a flaw in the force of correction, showing that he can't correct the Esau in him all the way. It accompanies him until the end of correction. And he, all that happens is that he leaves and then he comes back and he leaves and comes back again. Afterwards, the forces of Jacob and the forces of Esau meet once more. These forces within a person, they meet again during the burial of Isaac. And this is how they constantly exist inside a person until the end of correction, when all of these forces complete each other completely, all the different forces, including all the greatest shells, they show themselves as forces that help the person to reach the end of correction. As we sing at the eve of the Sabbath, that the angels come in peace, both from the good side and the bad side. Afterwards, Dina, the only daughter of Jacob, Dina is from the word judgment or law. It's a difficult force. It's a nukva, female force, a very great lack. And so there's no coincidence that Shechem ben Chamo, which was the king of Shechem, he falls in love with her because it is the force that on the one hand comes from Jacob. Meaning, if this great ego from Esau's side, from the left side, receives such a force as Dina, she is, even though she is from the house of Jacob, she's a force of judgment, then on the one hand he can connect to her, he sees that she's beautiful to him. On the other hand, he can also receive through her, through these desires, through this female desire, a lot of forces to fulfill himself, a lot of powers to fulfill himself, because it's a force of bestowal. You can work here in bestowing in order to receive. It's the force of the shell that attains the power of bestowal and uses it for itself. It's just like a person that covers himself up with beautiful things, but inside he has bad intentions. So this attracts him very much to Dina, or a person, because we're talking about the internality, so it's a person who then reaches a state in which he's on the path, but this force that wants to make him stray, that tells him, you can use Kabbalah to give all kinds of blessings and gain from it. You can use what you have in such a way that you will gain from it. And so, this is just an example. There are all kinds of forms, even less pleasant ones. And then one is integrated with this and succumbs to this power, which is the evil power that the klipa has, the shell has. So what happens here Is it the correct match between them does not happen because he's a very great will to receive that is not prepared for it, it's not circumcised. And therefore, after he rapes her, he's told that the sons of Jacob say, you need to, if you want to be with Dinah, you have to circumcise yourself and the and all of the people of your city, meaning you all need to correct yourself by this correction of the circumcision, which is circumcision is when a person cuts off the great part of the will to receive from him, meaning he demands a special correction that is like a knife. It cuts off these desires and shows him that he cannot work with these desires, and if he does, then he'll completely stray from the path of the Creator, the spiritual path, and it will close off for him. And this holds him back. It scares him. And then this act is called the circumcision. There's different acts here, the Brit Milah, Briah, V'Atifat Damah, the different acts of cleaning the will to receive, my ego that I work with, to correct it. And to begin with, I cut off from it such parts that I'm not able to correct. And this is called the circumcision. And then what happens after all the people of Shechem circumcise themselves, then they're killed. Meaning that finally, even after that they've circumcised themselves, they're still not able to perform the correction. This is actually what happens inside a person. That it's really a correction because this very big will to receive is revealed in a person, which is called Shechem, and is confused in his spiritual work. And this will to receive is revealed in its connection to this will to receive called Dina. And we see that no correction is possible here. So he tried to do it through the circumcision with these desires, meaning to cut them off and not to use them for now in this way, to leave them for a more advanced state. And he sees that this doesn't really work, so this means that he kills them. He doesn't use them anymore for now. And so he brings Dina back to himself, and for now, this nukva, this female desire, remains in a person without her mate, without the male part. This is called that the vessel is not completed inside a person. And once one organizes in this way, we have to understand that all of these corrections, there are no mistakes here. There's nothing here is more pleasant or less pleasant. It's only the order of corrections that a person needs to go through. Each and everyone who walks towards the correction and the revelation of the Creator needs to go through these corrections one by one. I'm afraid that when I explain it, it confuses corporeal reality and spirituality. This picture is quite muddled, and I admit to that. What can I do? But gradually, I think whoever listens to us understands a little bit and feels. I think you organized it very well. Before it was confused, but now it's organized. Okay, so we'll try to organize it even more. Afterwards, what happens is the Creator is already revealed to Jacob, and he orders him to move to Bet El, where he already builds his home. His home, meaning his briah, he multiplies. He has offsprings. He blossoms here. A person, when he's in the right place, with the correct desires, with the right connection and direction, then he advances well. This is what it means when it's written that the Creator blesses him with everything, with the fruit of the land, and with sons and everything. And all in all, he receives from the Creator the name of Israel, Yisharkel, straight to the Creator, so that from now on, from this point onwards, he truly begins to be aimed correctly and for sure and always straight to the revelation of the Creator, which is actually the purpose of one in our world, of a person in our world, because in the correction of the Creator, a person is changed. He becomes more and more fit with to the Creator, more alike to Him. That is why we are called Adam, alike to the Creator. And Jacob, from now onwards, one who reaches this point in his spiritual advancement is called Yisharkel, Israel. Israel is also called Lirosh, my head, that I have a head, which means that I am already able to perform the corrections and to advance. And Rachel, his beloved wife of Jacob, meaning a person who constantly worked with all such desires, but in all of them, there is a special desire with him, with which he advances and tries. This actually determines his path. This desire is called Rachel. This female, this desire with which he advances, helps him finish this degree, and then the next degree, which is called Benjamin, is born, the son of the right, Benjamin. This is already the signs to the next degree that already has the power to attain the next degree on the right line, on the right side. And from here, Rachel already dies. It means that a person has already fulfilled this degree, this desire, and he needs to go on to the next degree. And this is actually the end of the portion when this happens. And therefore, Jacob returns to Isaac, to the right line once again. There's a constant move here from the right to the left to the middle, right, left, middle. And so Jacob goes back to Isaac, Isaac passes away, and then Esau comes, meaning these two forces participate in the burial of Isaac. We have to understand that all these forces in a person, they're constantly awakened one after the other, and in the right combination, if a person yearns to be a Yisharkel, straight to the Creator, directed to the Creator, he doesn't have to be concerned about what awakens within him, because it will always be for the sake of his advancement. Okay, there are a lot of questions here. These are fascinating things, but I'd like to start with a short quote from the Zohar. This is the second quote out of Zohar La'am, the portion of Vayishlach. The only desire of the degrees of impurity is to attack the holy degrees. They all lurked and attacked Jacob, who was whole, as it is written, and Jacob came whole. First, the serpent bit him. As it is written, he touched the hollow of his thigh. It is said about Esau's minister that he was riding a serpent. Now, the chamor, the donkey, bit him, Shechem, the son of chamor, which is the klipa of the right. So here I'd like to ask the first question, how is this relevant to our times? Also today, Israel is hated to such a great extent. We see that anti-Semitism only grows all over the world. Is it true that we can identify these forces of Esau and Ishmael also in our world today, and to identify these different types of hatred towards Israel? First of all, I don't think we should delve into it too much, because, again, as I said, if a person advances Yisharkel towards the Creator, which is actually what the wisdom of Kabbalah directs him to, then everything that is revealed on the path is corrected. You don't need to delve into the klipa, to the shell, and think about it. That's not a mitzvah at all. It's not recommended at all. What we need is only to draw the light from the right side, and then the left side is corrected. That's all we need to be concerned about. That's one thing. And the second thing, when you said in regards to talked about anti-Semitism in the world and in general what's happening with our close neighbors and all of the great wide world around us, it all comes from the power of Esau, as it's written that Esau hates Jacob. But why is he revealed? Why does he grow? Why does it not become weaker and even disappear? It's because we are late with our correction. He cannot disappear. There is a plan of creation. In the left side, all of the egoistic will to receive the Creator created, within which you can find Haman and Pharaoh and Balak and Hitler and all of these evil men, and also not the evil men, also all the nations of the world. They're all on the left side, and they all hate us, and this is all natural. It is the opposition between us and them that causes it until we correct it. But if we, in every period of history, at least from today onwards, if we corrected everything we had to correct, then these forces would disappear. We would correct them for the better. We would receive, instead of their negative influence from them, we would receive a good influence from them, because they would turn from the angel of death to the holy angel a little more and a little more and a little more if we corrected ourselves. But because we're not correcting ourselves, but the opposite, what is the nation of Israel saying? We want to be just like everybody else. This is the exact opposite of the plan of creation and what is demanded of us. They themselves say, the nations of the world say, that we are, that Israel is the cause of all the trouble for the entire world. They are conscious and aware of we being the cause, that the peace of the world depends on us. How much good or bad will be in the world, it depends on Israel. This is what they're actually saying, but we don't want to acknowledge it. But that does not take from us any responsibility for this process that we need to go through and determine what happens to the world. And so it turns out that by not wanting to acknowledge our mission, not wanting to accept it upon ourselves, this great correction that we have to perform, first of all on ourselves and then on the entire world, upon ourselves and then to become a light unto the nations, then by that, I'm afraid we're causing all the evil to all the world and also to ourselves. And in this situation, we see that from year to year, it's not for our good. It's not changing in our benefit. So I hope very much that through dissemination and the kind of advocacy that we'll do, we'll try, that Jews in Israel and later also abroad will understand that they have such a duty, and that it's rooted in nature, and we can't escape it. And the nations will come to us and force us to do this, and we'll have to correct ourselves, but in much worse conditions. And so as much as we can do this as quickly as possible to acknowledge this message, to understand it, the foundation, the internality of the Torah, what it speaks of, and how we need to become a light unto the nations and give an example to others, how to correct this great crisis, how to correct the entire world, the relationships between people, to be all as one man in one heart, a place where all the nations will come to, for my place of prayer will be for all the nations. This is all upon us to do. And so we can't wait for things to get better, because they won't if we don't do this. We can't blame anyone in the world except for us, for the world being bad, because we are the ones who are making it. So we have to acknowledge the facts once and for all, that the entire correction is upon us to perform, and that all the nations of the world have no free choice. But all that is revealed is only because we do not correct ourselves, and then we see that they are turning towards us. And even if they don't do that yet, it's only so as to give us a little more possibility to organize ourselves. But at the end of the day, it will all come to us and fall upon our heads. God forbid if we won't be able to begin to correct ourselves before that. The moment we begin to correct ourselves, in that moment, we'll immediately begin to feel how much the world begins to be good, how much we are suddenly treated in a friendly manner. And we can see this we can feel it in our senses. The correction itself is simple. It's only by uniting, because towards the one Creator, the one force of none else but Him, we have to be one too. And that's why we see that we learn that from the event of the Sinai mountain. If you're willing, what did they learn? That if they're willing to unite as one man in one heart, then from now onwards you have a path. And if you're not able to do that, then this becomes the place of your burial. And this is the same state that we find ourselves in now. And so we should listen to what the Torah tells us, what the wisdom of Kabbalah tells us about how to perform this correction, which happens through the Arvut, through the mutual responsibility. This is why we call our movement Arvut. This is the message with which we're turning to the nation. We ourselves, those who study the wisdom of Kabbalah, the Kabbalists, we're turning to the nation with this message that we have to reach mutual responsibility, Arvut, all together. And by that, we will heal society in its entirety. We will connect and unite and reach a state in which also our neighbors and also those who are far from us, they will all treat us differently. And by that, the world will reach its good correction. I'd like to ask a question on this matter. It seems that when we do disseminate the wisdom of Kabbalah, if we look at the lives of Kabbalists, the Ramchal, Baal HaSulam, when they did this, they always had opponents who blocked them from every direction. Baal HaSulam's newspaper was closed off. We also have a lot of people around us who would be glad to see us not succeeding, even if we're talking about integral education or mutual responsibility, things that are supposedly not clean of the words of Kabbalah. There are lots of people who don't want it, they're opposed to it, and block us on our way. So what does it depend on for this wisdom to reach people? Because we are disseminating the message. What aren't we doing right? We're trying to do as best as we can, as much as we understand. If we see another opportunity tomorrow, we'll use it. We're trying with all our power. We have to try even harder. Possibly we have even more means that we've not yet used, more abilities. But it depends still on. We have to try. We have to make an effort. As much as people hear us or not, unfortunately, we've discovered that once the missiles fell on us, as happened a week ago, to that extent, the ears opened up. And the moment everything quiets down, also their ears shut. And this is called that the people is stubborn, that as many blows as they receive to the back of the head, they immediately forget. What can we do? How does it depend on us? By what? To try harder, to bring it in all kinds of forms, soft words, hard words, all kinds of ways of talking about it. An explanation. That if we want this good future for us and for our children, especially here in the land of Israel, then there's no other way. If not today, or then tomorrow, you'll be surrounded by tens of thousands of missiles from all sides, including a missile with a nuclear head, and they'll go all the way. What do they care? They have nothing to lose. And the truth is, to the entire world inside, is the entire world is together with them on the inside, because nobody likes us. But because America is against Russia, there's a political game, but for now, they're still keeping us here. But just for now, because we're already hearing that the Americans are willing to forget about Israel. So what else can we do to continue in this way? Either we see our good future because we want to be stronger and to truly be the nation of Israel in the land of Israel powerfully and with our principles, or what else can we do? Are we going to leave our plan? We won't be any better off by that. As much as the global crisis is expanded in the world, And we are the ones who are able to correct it, because also this is an integral crisis which demands people to become united. And the method of connection, the power of connection, is in our hands. This is what the method of Kabbalah teaches us, how to reach a state of one man and one heart. And this is what the entire world needs to do now, is demanded to do now. And this crisis that we see, a crisis, we see it in matter. It's this multifaceted crisis, which is also telling us that we've reached the end. And so all we need now is the power of correction, which only we have. Before, it wasn't this clear, and now it is, because this form of crisis has revealed itself in humanity, this crisis that shows us that we need to reach unity, the same kind that the wisdom of Kabbalah teaches us to do. So it's one plus one, it's one against the other. And so it turns out here that the nations of Israel, the nations of the world, have begun to demand this of us more and more, to blame us more and more, because they feel that we have the solution. Just like they're telling you now, that you're causing all the bad that happens in the world, the bad things in the world, and they feel it inside in their internal natural feeling. And so it will happen that we'll find ourselves pressured by all until the state that we call the war of Gog and Magog. We don't even want to come close to these situations, as the prophet, as written in the prophet, what kind of troubles we will experience. What we should do is from now onwards to listen and see what is happening in the world. Look at what's written in the newspapers about the crisis, and look at what the Torah says. We need to see that we reached a situation, a time in which they come together. Corporate reality and spirituality are coming together and connecting. Our world is demanding the force, the power of unity, which comes to us from the Creator, which is united from the sky. And we need to make the connection between these two things. And this is what we alone are able to do when we perform this unity upon ourselves. There's a part of the nation that can perform this through the wisdom of Kabbalah, through understanding and feeling, and all these things are discovered and revealed in their true spiritual way. But the entire nation needs to participate in this unity and this bonding as much as one can. The opening of the ears that we were talking about, for the nation to listen to us and for the entire world to listen to the Jewish people, does it depend on us? Does it depend on us that the nation will hear us? What do we need to do? Yes, it depends on us. We need to try harder and harder and harder, more and more. It works with two forces. On the one hand, they need to open the ears. There needs to be a hole in the ear, not with the door the sill. No, that's something we'll talk about another time. They need to open their ears. Everybody needs to open their ears, to open their heart, to show a little more interest in it, not to be so devoid of feeling or interest in what happens around us and the crisis around us. Of all the things that we're teaching ourselves, we see that we're learning, we see that we are in a very unrealistic situation, and it's unrealistic for us to think that we can continue in such a way. No other country can be in such a way of constant war, constant troubles, dependent on the entire world and its economy. We're here completely artificially, only in order to bring the correction to the world. So on the one hand, we have the force of the troubles that is active. On the other hand, the power of our dissemination. And these two forces operate on the nation, the power of the blows from behind it and our power of dissemination, all in order for them to open the heart a little bit, to begin to listen and to begin to unite. We need to disseminate as much as possible and to convince them in every way possible. If not, then the troubles will get stronger from the left side, and they will help us with our job, with our work. But finally, the Creator is the one who rules these two forces. We need to be His angels, His messengers, in trying to influence the nation through the right line, through the good line. And if not, then God forbid, He'll have to send the angels of the left line, the angels of Esau, So let's make an effort for that not to happen. Okay, if we want to connect that to the portion, we're called the sons of Israel, not the sons of Abraham or the sons of Moses. We're called the sons of Israel. So how can we fulfill today what we learned from this portion today? How can we relate to this, to our reality, through the role of Israel? The role of Israel is to take the entire desire of the world, the matter, the desire of all the nations, to include it within himself, under him, and to correct it. And this is what we can do. They will be glad to you connect to us once we become a power, a positive force of unity, of connection. You will see how much the entire world will be friendly towards us. Because this is what they expect of us. In their internality, they feel that they will also be better off by that. They'll help you with everything. And they're not to blame. The nations of the world hate us, that's true. But this is the angel force that is working through them. They hate us because we are not doing our corrections on time. They reveal a kilo of bad in them, and if you do not correct it in time, then 2 or 3 kilos are revealed. And this is how it accumulates each time, but it's only because you are behind in your correction. So unity, it seems clear that we need to unite and become an example to show this and disseminate this to the world. But what does it mean to be integrated with their desires? We've already been integrated in their desires also. This is what the exile was for. For 2,000 years, we were integrated with them in their culture and everything, and their desires. And now when we correct ourselves in the land of Israel, we're actually correcting their roots as well, that we were integrated with over 2,000 years of exile. So then I really want to understand this point. If we see that we're not being heard, that we're even seeing opposition, that we can see this as a sign that something in our own connection is not right yet, and to make more efforts with that, we always have to try and make efforts. But what can we do? We have to make more and more effort. The most important thing is not to stop. This is a stubborn nation. And also Moses, he complained to the Creator a number of times, "I'm not able, I don't want to do this, I'm heavy, my tongue is heavy, I want to quit my job." But we see that we have to do this job, we have to take this role upon ourselves, because we can only increase the love and the correct attitude, participation, to open our hearts more, just like a mother, that everything that happens to her child, she feels it as her own child. She can't leave him alone. She's not able to. And this connection is eternal. And this is how we need to understand it, to see it. And despite all the hardships, we need to see that they come from the part where the Creator created the evil inclination. We have to try to correct them, first of all within ourselves, then in the people of Israel, and then together with Him in the entire world. So we're heading towards the end of the part of our show. So it's clear that to the world that we have this role to play, but it's we who are confused. We want to be like everybody else. We are the ones who are deluded. How can we awaken from this illusion once and for all? Through study, through awareness of our role, of the process, of the purpose of creation. This is the role of dissemination. There is nothing else. Because the person who doesn't have this desire, the ones who do have this desire, come to us, and there are thousands of people who come to us in Israel and in millions in the entire world. But one who does not have this desire, you have to convince him that it's for his own good. You need to show him that he won't be able to succeed with whatever he wants to succeed in life without being connected properly to everyone around him, because we are in this global system. And without this good connection, we won't succeed. Nobody will be able to succeed through this crisis, not the personal one, not the global one. So on this optimistic note, thank you, Rav Levin, thank you, Moshe Edmoni, and thank you, our viewers at home. Goodbye.